until about 3 in the afternoon. At that hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This made some of the bystanders who heard it remark, "He is calling for Elijah." One of them hurried off and got a sponge. He soaked the sponge in cheap wine and, sticking it on a reed, tried to make Jesus drink. The others said, "Leave him alone. Let's see whether Elijah comes to his rescue." Once again, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. Then he gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the curtain in front of the Holy of Holies was ripped in half from top to bottom. The earth quaked. Boulders were split and tombs were opened. Many bodies of holy ones who had fallen asleep were raised. After Jesus' resurrection, they came out of their tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and his cohort who were standing guard over Jesus' body were terror-stricken at seeing the earthquake and all that was happening and said, "Clearly, this was God's own." A group of women were present, looking on from a distance. These were the same women who had followed Jesus from Galilee as ministers to him. Among them were Mary of Magdala, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When evening fell, a wealthy man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had become a disciple of Jesus, came to request the body of Jesus. Pilate issued an order for its release. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in fresh linen and laid it in his own tomb, which had been hewn out of rock. Then Joseph rolled a huge stone across the entrance of the tomb and went away. But Mary of Magdala and the other Mary remained sitting there, facing the tomb.
My God, why have you forsaken me? About to die on the cross, in Jesus' cry, we sense all of the brokenness and suffering and senseless abandonment that echoes throughout the ages. There is probably no moment in Jesus' life that humans identify with more than this moment of so much pain and aloneness. We too long to cry out at times, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken us? It is the cry of God's people throughout the ages. And it echoes our confusion and bewilderment as we try to reconcile God's love, goodness, and power with the suffering and brokenness that we experience in the world. Why can't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? What can be the meaning of all of this pain and struggle and loss and innocent suffering? Most days, we can't make sense of it at all. So we can feel the angst and the longing as Jesus suffers undeserved rejection, humiliation, and death. And we can identify because we too know that kind of angst and longing. We too feel abandoned and alone at times. We too face rejection and humiliation and ultimately death. We too wonder why innocent people have to suffer. Yet it is today, of all days in the Christian year, that we most wrestle with what it is to be human in a broken world. It is in our woundedness that we most identify with all people throughout all time. And it is in this moment that Jesus most identifies with us, because he too was wounded. It is a strange and sometimes even bizarre thing that it is actually in our pain that we are most like every other human being who ever lived. Suffering crosses all cultural, gender, religious, societal, and national boundaries. No one escapes it. And so Jesus chose in this, our most profound humanness, to identify with us, not in our happiness and our celebration and our joy, but in our suffering. To show us that God is not above our suffering, but joins us in it and will walk with us through it. God does not take away the suffering, for it is actually the source of our greatest growth, the source of our empathy and compassion and understanding. It is in this Good Friday experience that we most identify with each other. We suffer in order to help others through their suffering. Thus, Jesus joins us in our suffering, comforting and companioning us when we let him. When we let our pain connect with his pain, and we weep with him, and let our hearts be broken open. We cannot circumvent this very human condition. And we must not. And this is so hard for us in a culture that desperately wants to avoid pain and suffering at any cost. We are afraid that if we start to go to that place and to feel these feelings and let the tears come, we might not stop. Yet, they are so necessary for healing and moving into the fullness of life. It is in this most vulnerable of places that Christ enters in and begins the healing of our woundedness. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice so that he could go the whole way with us into the heart of our pain and suffering, and remain there with us. After his death, Jesus was taken by Joseph of Arimathea, one of his new disciples, to a tomb he had hewn from rock for himself and for his family. He wrapped Jesus' body, then gently laid it in the tomb. And then he rolled a large stone across the mouth of the tomb, and he left. He walked away in his own grief. Now, we know this is not the end of the story from this perspective, but we have to wait This is not the day to finish the story. We will pick up on that on Sunday. But we'll have to wait for it through this experience. It could have ended there, but Matthew adds one little small note to the end of the story of Jesus' death and burial. He tacks on this seeming throwaway little observation after the burial of Jesus. He says this, "But Mary of Magdala and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb." After everyone else had left, the two Marys settled down to sit there, just sit there, facing the tomb. In their grief, their loss, and their suffering, they sat there. Just sat with Jesus in their pain and grief, which is what we must do when we are so broken and wounded that we don't know what else to do. This is the thing to do, to sit. We won't move on or forget or get busy or deny or ignore or pretend it's not happening. We will sit and face the tomb because we must for our own healing. Don't walk away. It is a strange paradox that in order to truly heal our grief, we must accept it and move deeper into it. What tomb are you facing? Today, we ponder the pain and suffering that come with death and loss, and the anger that we may feel at injustice and powerlessness. Today, we identify with Jesus in his pain and suffering, and we sit with him. We will sit with Jesus and trust that in these moments, God is already working behind the scenes, even if we can't see it. Death and pain and suffering are reality, but they are not the last word, ever. We must resist as best we can those forces that would force pain and suffering on others as Jesus did. Not by fighting them, but by modeling another way, a way of non-violence and identification with those who are oppressed and suffer. We will sit with Jesus, and we will sit with them. Jesus immersed himself in the experience of suffering to show us what it is to suffer for the sake of love and to identify with all humanity. So I ask again, what tomb are you facing today? We are going to take some time in just a moment to sit with our suffering. It could be some personal loss that you have experienced or are experiencing. It could be some empathy or anger at the suffering that is going on in the world today. Or maybe you're facing something difficult in your life or in the lives of friends and family members that you are grieving over. Today, we will open our hearts to the pain of Jesus' brokenness and to our own pain. You received a small card and pen when you came in today. I'm going to invite you to take that card and actually write a note to your own pain. Write a note to your pain. Not to yourself, to your pain. Speak to yourself gently and compassionately, knowing that Jesus is with you right there as you write. Even though in that moment, Jesus may not have felt it, we know that God did not forsake him. and God will not forsake us. Today is a day for reflection and tears. I invite you to now take some time to write.